Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's wonderful to see so many out here on this day, and kudos to the Chassel crew because there's a lot from Chassel here. And I'll tell you what, it was a pretty miserable ride in from Tapiola. So anyways, thanks be to God for getting us all here safely, and may He be glorified in all we say and do today. Our sermon text for this third Sunday of Advent, which is known as the Sunday of Joy, is going to be taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11, we're going to begin at verse 2, and we're going to read through verse 11, and we're going to continue reading in Jesus' name. And if you are able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel. Matthew 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he who should come? Or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You may be seated. Amen. It's an interesting thing when you look at the church calendar, and this is a church text for the third Sunday of Advent. And we've just gone through the season, you know, I gave you the description of what the Advent wreath and candles mean. The first one now that we are in this generation of where we don't talk about repent, repent, repent anymore, we are in the understanding of hope, peace, joy. And then the last one will be love, and then the Christ candle. But the fact of it is, now we're on the joy candle. And this is the text that's given for us. And we can turn around oftentimes as human beings. And we can come to this point of saying, really, where is the great joy in this? You know, I mean, we should have something that's just so much more wonderful and really gives a great description of what's going on for us. Maybe some great victorious story for the joy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a joyful message. It's kind of interesting. I feel like I'm back in Alston and Bruce Crossing. Because, I mean, it doesn't matter where. I don't care if you're in Republic, Michigan. They sit in the farthest pew in the back, even if there's nobody in church. So I feel like I'm going to yell at you today. So you're going to have to forgive me for yelling at you today. But the fact of it is, this is a joyful message. John, he's having a struggle. There's many different ways of trying to look at this text. A lot of people and a lot of different theologians and even just pastors, we like to debate. Why is this question asked by John? Because who is John? John is the baptizer. John was the forerunner. John is the cousin to Jesus. John is the one that was given the message to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. We understand that by the text. John is the one that did what? Makes that great statement. Behold, the Lamb of God, that what? Takes the sin of the world away. A revelation of the Holy Spirit given to John. A powerful and a mighty man with a proclamation that needs to be heard throughout this world. You ever had a day in your life where you just think you're unstoppable? You feel like God gave you such an unction of the Holy Spirit that you could move mountains? And then you feel like, man, I got it made. I know that I have a home in heaven. God has blessed my life on earth. And then all of a sudden, you turn around and something happens. Last night I couldn't sleep. So I go downstairs and I take something to try to help me sleep. And I go upstairs and I fall asleep. And I finally get to sleep and all of a sudden, oh great, what's this? Dad, Tia's in the ditch, she hit a deer. 1 o'clock in the morning. I thought I had the world by the tail. Well, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I thought everything was coming apart. But the fact of it is, these are just carnal things. Things that we have to deal with in our life, and they happen all the time, and all the time around us. But the one thing that we need to see, that there is something greater beyond our circumstances. There's something greater. John was having a bad day. John was a powerful minister for God. John had a powerful message that people were thronging to hear. It says that the people came from all the regions to hear his message, the message of repentance. He was kind of a big deal. And then he sees Christ. And he turns around and he sees Christ and he makes that powerful testimony. Behold, look at that. That is the Lamb. That is the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world away. This is the one that will be the victor for us. He's so great. He's so mighty. I'm not even worthy to touch his shoes. These are the statements of John. So you have a powerful ministry, you have a powerful testimony, you enter into the world and people are starting to follow what you're speaking, not following you, because John was very careful about that. He told everybody, I am not that man. But he definitely was having a part in it. I think it's amazing if you look at actually the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I'm going to read a few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. See, we go into the King James, and sometimes we can be pretty staunch on this and say, well, we can only read from the King James. Well, then what does that mean? What does it mean that the darkness could not comprehend the light? See, and if we don't look into any further, we're going to say, well, really, the darkness can't understand the light. And that's not what it means. Really, what it means is that it cannot overtake it. In other words, the light came into the world, and the darkness that's in this world could not overtake the light. And this is extremely important to our text now, because John was sent out to be a messenger, just as for the Gospel of John tells us in chapter 1 farther on, he is the messenger of the light. He is not the light, but he is a messenger of it. And now John, being the messenger of that light, and living in the shadow, if we can say, of that light, if there can be a shadow of light, but in the glory of the light, let's say, where does he find himself? In prison. John finds himself in the darkest place that a person could be. In prison. And you can't think for a moment that he wasn't starting to wonder what in the world is going on. Because we have a tendency as human beings to think things should go according to our ideas, our ways, our plan. And so it says very plainly, now when John heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to confirm. He sent two of his disciples to ask this question. Are you the one that I'm supposed to be looking for, or that we're looking for? Are you who I thought you were? Now, we can act all holy and righteous and pretend we wouldn't do this. But Jesse often does this. Oftentimes, I can think, as I was saying, life can be splendid, and then something goes wrong, and I can turn around and say, where is God? What has happened? You've promised this, this, and this. Are you going to commit to your promise? It's not popular to speak honesty in the flesh, but that's often how we can be. But yet God is patient. God is kind. God is loving. And He continues to reveal Himself to us, even in our darkest moments. John was the forerunner of Christ, a powerful ambassador for the message to come, a powerful individual to bring the people back to God, having a great testimony with the power of the Spirit with him. And yet now he finds himself in prison and saying, is this how it's supposed to be? Remember, even for the children of Israel in their day and age, that they would turn around and they would think that there would be this king, this Jewish king that would come and do what? Restore them to be the great nation. They were looking for a physical restoration out of Jesus, because they were in the grips of Rome and they wanted their freedom. But they had no understanding of the true freedom that Jesus Christ was bringing was from freedom of hell, death, and the devil. This is the testimony. This is the message. We may endure things in this life. We may go through struggles in this life. But there is joy in that message of hope in Jesus Christ. That we are no longer slaves to this sin. No longer slaves to the flesh. No longer slaves to the fallen world. Are you the one? Because if you're the one, I don't know if I should be here. You can just imagine. We would think that even if it was in a carnal text in our own minds. If we were like called the vice president of a large company. And in the vice presidency of this large company, you found yourself in dire straits and the company was doing well and you were struggling and struggling and struggling. Finally, you would write a letter to the president saying, am I really supposed to be in this shape? Am I supposed to be neglected in this way? Which one of us wouldn't question? See, then our religious side could turn around and say, well, then now that you're questioning, then we should be done with you because you shouldn't question. But it goes to show the human side. The struggle that we have. And brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe you don't have these struggles, but I know I do. Maybe you don't have these struggles, but I know your neighbors do. Your friends do. And so when he asks this question, he is not rejected in this. It's confirmed to him. And that is the love of our God, that in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our grief in this world, God comes alongside of us and He confirms in us of the great work that He has. See, the truth of the matter is John's ministry was over. He was one of the prophets of the last covenant. He was the last prophet of the covenant of old. And his ministry was over. It wasn't about John. It is about Christ. But when he asks this question, Jesus confirms. And he says, you know, go now. He says, don't leave him in this state. He tells the two disciples. He says, you go and you show John. I want you to bring to him and show him the things which you do hear. And also witness what you see. Share with John. What is he sharing with John? What are they bringing to him? The power of the kingdom. And that's what he wants them to see. He says, you go show him everything that you hear, everything that you see. Bring him this testimony that the blind, that they receive their sight, and that the lame, they are able to walk, and that the lepers, they are cleansed, and that the deaf, they may hear, and that the dead are raised up. Do you see the power of the kingdom? Do you see the power of the kingdom over illnesses, over death? Do you see the power of the kingdom and the proclamation? It is an amazing thing. He says, I want you to tell them those that could not see, now they see. That can be also spiritually. Yes, it's very physical. Yes, Jesus has completed this. But now, can we even see with the spiritual how they can see? He says that the lame would walk, that they would now be able to stand, that the lepers would be cleansed, the outcast would be brought in, and that the poor, in reality, those individuals that people look down upon, they have the good news preached to them, that they may have hope. John is being told, this is much greater than you, John. This is much greater than the circumstance that you're in. This is the coming of the kingdom. He gives them this encouragement. And then he turns around and he says this message, which is very powerful. He said, "And blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." And I think, in all honesty, Jesus turns around and he's telling me very personally, it's not about you. In other words, John, it's not your way. It's not your thinking. So many times we act as proud human beings within the churches, within the circles of life, thinking that we have all the answers and we know how things should be laid out. But it is God's kingdom and it is His way. And He says, don't be offended in this. Trust. Do we trust? In and through the circumstances that we're living in and through the difficulties that we see our friends in, do we trust and do we know above and beyond all things that God holds us in the palm of His hands and that He will get us through these circumstances? Do we trust? Are we encouraged in the prisons of our lives? Are we encouraged that our life in reality must be extinguished and His life must be lit? Do you understand that what Jesus is telling John is exactly what John understood before? He must increase that I may decrease. I'd like to take that in a religious stance. I would like to stand up here humbly and tell you, I must decrease so He can increase. Like, I gotta get out of God's way. He must increase so that I may decrease. There's a big difference. Don't be offended, John. What you see is the living power of the kingdom. And restoration is being brought back to a fallen world. Bring that message of hope to John in his darkest place. And that is the joy of this season. That because of this Christ child, we can understand the message of hope, the message of restoration, that Emmanuel, God, is with us. May we continue to live in that hope, and may we know it for ourselves. So they turn, they depart, and they start heading out to go share this message with John. And we understand very plainly what happens. We understand that John was offered as a birthday gift, that he was beheaded and his head was presented to Herodias' wife on a platter. We understand this. And we could stop and we could say, well, this is a terrible act. And yes, in the flesh, this is a terrible act, it's a disgusting act. But the fact of it is, John's ministry was over. His struggle was over. He's living in victory. He has completed his task. And I think it's so honoring how Jesus speaks now of him. It's almost like he gives his eulogy because Christ knows all things and he knows what's going to happen. He understands what this prison means to John. And he turns around and he says, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see?" He speaks to the people. What did you go out there to see? Did you go out there to see some sort of insignificant thing, like a reed shaking in the wind? Is that what you went out there to see? No, they went out there for something greater than that, didn't they? The people weren't just thronging to go see some weed shaking in the wind. They went to see something very significant, mighty, and powerful, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, drawing men to it. He says, What did you go out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? In other words, something that you would think would be kingly, something that you would think would be great in your fashion? Did you go out there and see this? He says, "Behold, The individuals that wear this soft raiment or in this great clothing, they live in king's houses. That's your worldly fashion. That's your thought process. Boy, I'm not far from this, am I? How about you? We hear so much about the way we dress. We hear so much about the way we do things. But where's the heart? Where's the intent? We have a tendency to gauge people according to the external all the time. But do we take time to see the internal? To see the love and the power of the message? In all honesty, they went out there to see a guy that looked nuts. Somebody that we would not accept. Yet he had a powerful message that was bringing them back to the God that they said they knew. A message of repentance, of a change of heart, of a change of mind. He says, what did you go out there to see? He says, a prophet? A speaker? Just some sort of common speaker or anything like that? He says, yea, I say unto you, much more than just a speaker. See, we often turn around and we think the word prophet just means that we can tell the future and things like that. But it actually means a proclaimer. He says, you went out there to see something much greater than just some proclaimer. You saw an individual that was commissioned by God Himself. You went out there to see an individual that God Himself has established. You didn't see a man. You saw the words and the ministry of God. And so he says, did you go out there to just see some common preacher? No, you went out there to see much more than that. For this is the individual that you waited for. This is the individual that they spoke of. The old prophets looked to this individual. Yes, they look ultimately to Christ. But it speaks in Isaiah about the one that would be sent before him. Commissioned of God. Commissioned of God. Not our terms, not our ways, God's plan, God's kingdom, God's revelation. He says very plainly, for it is he of whom is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. To make the mountains low and the valleys high, to make the path straight. In other words, in reality, bringing the message of repentance to each and every individual that they may come back to their God, that they may know their God, that He would be accessible by all. In other words, there's no mountain in the way, there's no valley in the way. It's not according to riches, it's not according to heritage, or whatever else it may be. It's not according to position. He called them all back. He leveled the playing field. That all may have access to this Christ. He says, no, you didn't go out there just to see some guy who was nuts and was just ranting and raving some earthly mythology. You went out there to see the individual that God had called to the position to bring you back. To bring you back. To make you ready. For the introduction of Christ Himself. He was a great man. John the Baptist was a great man. We have a hard time saying that as Finlanders. We don't like to raise up anybody. We don't. And somehow we act in false humility that if we pound somebody down a little, we're doing them a favor. The fact of it is, I'm not doing it. Verse 11 says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, among them that are born of women. Now tell me, which one of you is not born of a woman? Hard to find, isn't it? He says, there hath not risen up a greater than John the Baptist. What a powerful testimony. What a powerful testimony Jesus Christ speaks of John the Baptizer. But where is the joy? And where is the joy for you and I? John was of the old covenant. John was the last of the great old prophets. Something greater than he has now arrived. And John himself is the one that says, I can't even touch the latchet of his shoes because he's so great. And this one is Jesus the Christ, the Redeemer of your soul. John could preach a message of turning back, but John's message could not save a single soul. John's message could not save a single soul. It is the blood of Christ that redeems. John did not say, behold me in my great message. Behold me and turning back is going to save you. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world away. Behold him. Look to him. Because it's not about John. John is fading. It is about Christ. He says, Jesus says of John, there is never a man born greater than this, than John the Baptist. But then he says something that is the greatest joy for each and every one of us. He says, notwithstanding, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He says, but don't be dismayed. The individual that is in the kingdom of heaven is greater than even this one I spoke of. Because this new covenant in Jesus Christ is so much greater than anything else. It does not fail. Because it does not rely on the blood of animals. It does not rely on the obedience of men. It relies on the blood of Christ and the obedience of one, Him. And this is what he points us to understand how great we are in reality in the kingdom of God. The poets of before spoke so greatly about it, saying that it is a mystery and a wonder to the angels in heaven that God would even send his Son for us. For us. That we have received such a great gift that there is nothing of the old covenant that could ever compare to what has been given to us in the new. It is spoken out so boldly that Jesus says you wouldn't even think of taking the new and putting it in an old container because it would burst. It cannot contain it. This is how wonderful the gift that we have received is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, John was a great man, but in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we are beyond measure greater. Not because of who we are, because of who he is. Not because of what we have done, but for what he has completed. Do we understand this and can we proclaim this in this Christmas season? The joy is not found in my performance. The joy is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus proclaims to us. John was good. But thanks be to God, through the finished work of Christ, we are better. We have received completion. Things will get dark. Things may get tough. But the fact of it is, we have the indwelling spirit, which the prophets of old did not have. They had a spirit that abided with them. But Christ going upon that cross and paying for the sins of the world, in reality has made this vessel that we have, this vessel we carry, able to hold the Holy Spirit because he has cleansed it. We are precious in the sight of our God. The joy is found in the completion we find in him. Please find this completion. Look to your Savior. Know him. Understand him. And above and beyond, understand he knows and understands and loves you. Very personally. Your God loves you. And he says, John was a good guy. But because of what I have completed for you, you are brought to new heights. May we find the joy in the redemption that is completed in the finished work of Christ this Christmas season, this day, and every day henceforth. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer.